Welcome to the Orlando Lions Den Podcast, your number one Orlando City podcast for the fans, by the fans, for the fans, by the fans. Keeping you in the know on all things Orlando City since 2018.
Hello, hello. Another edition of Orlando Lions Den Podcast. I'm your host tonight. So we got the same three as we did last week, I think. I don't know, the weeks run together, but it's Alex Brown. I'm here with the boys tonight to discuss the dub in Philly. We'll talk about tactics changes and all the fun stuff that we did to get a result, no matter with the injuries and all that stuff. So thank you guys for joining us. We appreciate y'all for listening, as always, here at Orlando Lions Den Podcast. Here with JJ and Mike tonight. What's up, fellas? How y'all doing? JJ, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. You know, I'm kind of happy, but people think I'm kind of mad still. But, hey, we're good. We're good. We'll talk about it.
JJ getting all the hate on Twitter after we won one game. So, you know, this happens. You know, we've had polarizing views for sure. So, you know, when the opposite thing happens that we've been saying, they're obviously you're going to get some of the people out of the woodworks to criticize you. So you get a chance to explain yourself a little bit more tonight and how you feel. So we're looking forward to hearing about that. Mike, the man with the New York love, how you doing down there, Bubba?
Hoping the Rangers close the series out tonight. That's what I'm hoping for. Up 1-0 right now, so nice. But I'm doing good, brother. We got to win. 3 points. It's like the clip that OC Fan TV likes to share all the time. I don't know the guy who the guy is, but 3 points. Take it home with you. I feel good. So
yeah,
I obviously feel, abbreviated the cursing out of it because we don't got time to edit this. So
yeah. That's more for the old Den After Dark. But, yeah, I was happy with the 3 points. We were saying last week we needed a result. Oscar Pereira needed to get something out of these next two matches. Otherwise, it was going to probably be looking pretty bleak for him. And he comes out and changes the entire shape of the team as to what was called upon with the injuries that we suffered with Dagger Dan and Hafa Santos last week. And we get a much needed result. So we'll talk about it a little bit. First, let's get into the sponsors. Going to Eddie first. We miss Eddie. He's on a cruise right now. He's with the family. But he obviously is the insurance man. I'm seeing a lot of people on Twitter. Makes me happy that they have been using Eddie. They've been talking to Eddie about the insurance game and their homeowner rates and even their auto rates. And it really is the best thing that you can do when it comes to insurance, is to talk with somebody that you know is going to take care of you and not going to take you around and you know, screw you over. So give Eddie a call. He works for Liberty Mutual, his parent company. He works for Comparion Insurance Agency, which is just an agency under Liberty Mutual that can shop around many different companies other than Liberty Mutual Insurance. So you can guarantee that you're getting the best rate possible. Auto insurance, home insurance, life insurance is great. Renter's insurance, pet insurance. Eddie does it all. So you got the QR code on the screen if you're watching.
Got a question. Eddie. Got a question. What's up? You know, it's very funny that he, you know, backlashes our boy Cleon all the time for not working. Eddie seems like he's going on a cruise every week, you know? So it's like, does he do any work? Is he doing work while he's on the cruise? He took a picture on his, I don't know if it was his Instagram, his wife took it. We're all friends on social media. And he's just chilling with his feet up, looking at the sunset go down. I'm like, does this guy even work? Does this guy work? And he's talking about Cleon? Come on. I want to be Eddie when I grow up.
I don't know if he works, but we do know he works out. My man's dropping the LBs, so.
Oh yeah, he is
looking good.
He's looking great. He's been doing a lot of fun stuff, and it's a benefit of being a local sales agent for an insurance company, especially for a long time. He's been doing it for a while, so he's got a lot of residuals coming in. I know that. I've had my policies with him for a good amount of time, And you know, he's works when he needs to. So, and he works from home. So he's got a good gig for sure. You can't deny that. I don't know if it's as good as Cleon's gig, but it's still for sure a good gig. Let's go to Leo. Leo at the Epic Mortgage team, powered by U Mortgage. Leo Gonzalez, one of my best friends. I've known him for 15, 20 years now. He's a great partner for the podcast. He'll be at the watch party too. And he can help you out if you have questions about your mortgages, if you have questions about getting a mortgage refinancing. The rates are starting to come down a little bit, but even if you're looking at buying in the future, he could tell you what he envisions for the market. And I'll be honest, I was way wrong 3 or 4 years ago about the market when COVID first hit, and he was spot on. So I trust everything that he says when it comes to not only mortgages, but the real estate industry as a whole. He can help you out for conventional, non-conventional, foreign national loans. If a regular bank can't write you, Leo can find something to get you a house, get you in a home. So give Leo a call, 407-844-7696, at Loans by Leo on Twitter, and www.applywithleo.com. Of course, we got the QR code on the screen. Field Turf USA, they got some great things with pitches. We're putting actually some artificial turf. I don't think we qualify for field turf back in our backyard here, but we're doing a little addition on with the house, and it's great to have. And with field turf, it's, you know, they do all those hybrid pitches and things like that they see along the sidelines. So they do a cool thing. I'm sure all y'all that have listened to us know about them. And Fubo TV, use our QR code on the screen. We post it on the Twitter too, underneath. If you're looking for, I know the Magic are over, but you could access Bally Sports on Fubo. They got a bunch of good plans. They got free TV too. So if you're looking to cut the cords or maybe even save some money, go with Fubo TV, and they can look at all their packages. They got a lot of good stuff on there. Feel free to use our link. Mike, tell us a little bit about this watch party we got going on. I know we're trying to promote it, but we got a few more updates. When are we releasing the name?
Yeah, I mean, I actually said the name on our Den After Dark this week, so I'm going to go ahead and say the name now. I'm not going to show the image of the can because I don't have it uploaded, but back to the roots of the show. Cleon used to say often around one of his favorite players, no Higuita, no party. Then there was no Poppy, no party, no Duncan, no party, no Cesar, no party. So we're kind of sticking with that. No Mango, no party is the name of the beer. It's going to be a wheat beer brewed with mango, if you couldn't get that idea already. Very excited about it. And the watch party and the release for the beer is going to be on 6-1 Saturday, 7 p.m. Game kicks off around 7:30. Orlando City away against the New York Red Bulls. And one of my favorite announcements is we got Cappy's food truck coming out. You know, they're often at Broken Strings Brewery before games, before home games. Cappy's is going to come out, a good friend of ours. Shout out to Adam. We appreciate you, brother. Coming out and making sure you guys are all well fed for that one. We've been working on some giveaways. We got some tickets that are going to be given away. And Alex even has a game-worn signed jersey that we're going to be giving away. All this is free. You just got to show up. Show up, watch the game, order a beer, and you're entered in a giveaway. You could possibly win some great game tickets, signed memorabilia, bunch of fun stuff. So we're really excited about it. And shout out to Hourglass Brewing. It is their Orlando location. They do have two, one in Longwood, Longwood, one in Orlando. We will be at the Orlando location. And we look forward to you guys being there with us. It's going to be a lot of fun. Tell your friends, please.
Yeah, come on out. We want to get a good showing. We want to see a bunch of your faces there. Put some faces to some Twitter and social media names. And yeah, we got it's a parlay jersey to be specific. So we're going to be giving away a lot of stuff. We put together a lot of cool things for everybody, and we're going to obviously enjoy the match as well, starting around 7:30. Doors. Watch party starts at 7. I'll be there, and come on out and check it out. We would really appreciate it and hope to see you all there. All right, boys, we got the dub in Philly. A great result. There's no cutting it. you know, the XGs that are, you know, popular among some, hated by others, says that it was the highest difference in expected goals for in a loss by Philly since at least 2013. I think they outscored us by like 3.6 expected goals, and we still got the victory. That's why I hate expected goals. I don't think that they mean really anything. Results mean everything. So we got the 3 points. We give up an early goal. Honestly, I saw the first goal, and I was like, that just felt like we were, like, if we're nailing in coffin, the nails to the coffins for Oscar Pereja, that felt like the third to last one was that first goal. I was like, man, this is bad. This is going to be real bad. And then who else but Duncan McGuire to bring it back and give us hope. And then Murillo awakens from the dead, comes on. Just a rip rocket. I don't think I've ever seen somebody in an Orlando City purple kit score a goal like that on their weak foot ever in the history of Orlando City. So an amazing left-footed strike from outside the box into the top bins. And then 20 seconds into the second half, Nico Ladero finds him again. Nice little counter off of the aerial balls and from the middle, and just a 1-2 punch, gets it right into Murillo, and he gets a third goal. The game was not lacking any sort of referee drama, for sure. The ref lost control and somehow took control for himself of the whole match, made it about himself. I personally believe got pretty much – I saw one Philadelphia fan post. They were super upset about the refs. I said the only thing I can agree with is that they said that he got everything wrong. And I do agree with that. I think he got every single decision incorrect. We gave him two penalties, two of the softest penalties you'll ever see. And they took away a red card. I don't know how we didn't get a penalty on the handball by, I believe it was Martinez in the box, right, for them, straight off the bicep. I didn't get that. And we survived. The most impressive part of the performance for me, wasn't the goals. It was the 15 minutes of stoppage time in the second half, and surviving, and not only surviving, but really looking like we took control and managed the way to hold it off and get the points. It looked like from the 85th to 90th minute, we were definitely going to give him an equalizer, maybe even a winner, maybe even two goals like we did a few weeks back. But after Pedro saved the penalty, we settled in, and it wasn't really a question. We dominated that last 15 minutes on the defensive end. So tell me how you're feeling. JJ, I want to start with you, man, because obviously you've been very Poppy out. Poppy changed a lot of things, not because he did it proactively, but I feel like he had to with the injuries. And you're getting a lot of slack about it. I know you said it was just one win. We need to calm down. But also, you were obviously excited as a fan of the team to get the dub. So tell me how you're feeling, what stood out to you the most, and, maybe how you're feeling moving forward.
People, relax. It's one win. We didn't win the championship yet, It's great that we got the win. I said it on Den After Dark. Great game. Poppy had to switch. We went with the more offensive-minded, and we scored 3 goals. If not, we could have probably scored a little bit more because we did miss some opportunities. But my thing is why do we wait until game 11, game 12 to switch things up and wait until 2 people, 3 people get hurt and all this? But it seems like it every time we're doing this, every time Poppy wants to come back with his, at the beginning of the year, doing his Poppy special, and it's not working. It does not work. And finally, it had to have Rafael Santos hurt, Dagger Dan with the concussion protocol, Rodrigo Schlegel with the red card, for us to change this whole tactic of his, and go more offensive minded. And I talked about this at Den After Dark, what he played, the 3-5-2, that he played with two strikers, five midfielders, and three defenders. Last year, we talked about this in the preseason when we played FIU. We were like, man, this is phenomenal, this lineup that he has. When we went to go see the game, I think it was Mike, Cleon, myself. We were there at the game for that preseason in Osceola at Heritage Park. And I was like, man, this is phenomenal. This, and it was so much offense. And the wing backs were coming back. It was phenomenal. I loved it. Now it takes us 11 games to finally figure this thing out. When we already have lost 21 points. Remember, we've lost five games already and three ties. That's a total of 21 points left on the table. Okay. If he would have started this probably after week two or maybe after week one, when he noticed that his, you know, tactics weren't working, maybe out of those 21 points we've lost so far, we could have had some of those points. Just half of those points out of the 21, just give me 10. And where would it put me? It would put me in second or third place right now in the East, I think, because 27, I think first place is 27. So, I mean, it seems like every year in his five-year tenure, except the back, MLS is back, it takes him 10, 11, 12 games to finally figure out, hey, I need to move my tactics. I got to change my tactics. And by then, I mean, last year, phenomenal. I mean, other teams lost. We were able to move up in the rankings and finish in second. But why doesn't he do this from the beginning? Why does he make us stress out? Now we got, you know, it's one game. It is one game. We won one game. Would we be talking about a win if that PK wasn't saved? It would have been another tie. Okay. Who knows in that extra 30 minutes that the referee gave, if they would have scored another goal, because by that time it would have been already, you know, the mindset of Orlando City would probably have gone down, you know? So we got to look at everything around. We did win. We got the 3 points. That's the most important, is the dub. I don't care if we won by five or if we won by half a point, we won, we got 3 points, but we have to look at the real, you know, logistics and the real things that are going on with Orlando City and say, hey, you know, we scored 3 goals, but it could have been a tie. And who knows if it could have been a loss. You know, they started, hotheads started prevailing again at the end. You know, we saw Muriel and Lowe, which to me, the PK shouldn't have been for Lowe. He did get the ball. That was not, you know, to me, it's not a red because he did touch the ball. Might have been a foul to a yellow to an extent, but not a red. But his tactics is anti-tactics that he was, I mean, he's dancing on top of Luis Muriel, like he's grinding on top of him, like he's a stripper down on the Ybor Strip in Tampa or something, you know, come on. That's a yellow card no matter what, you know, and doing the cowboy riding thing or whatever on top of Muriel. So yes, like you said, swag. I mean, the ref made it to about himself, you know. The Angulo one that was the PK, that is not a PK. The guy was diving already. The guy's already diving. And before, now the only problem was Ivan Angulo had his arm, not that he was pushing him or anything, but he had his arm up on his shoulder already. So you go to VAR, you go anywhere, you see that arm there, even though the guy is diving, you know. So it wasn't a PK. It was a dive. But I'm happy we got the win, but there's still a lot of work to do. I mean, now we got, you know, inner Fort Lauderdale coming in. Then you got to travel to in three days to California, to San Jose, up in the up by San Francisco. It's going to be tough. And I mean, we said it between, I said, Mike, you put out that poll. I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, and during the stretch, you know, of these games, how many points Orlando was going to get. I think majority of the people said 1-4, I think it was.
So, yeah, I have the math on it here, I think. That was talking about all of the games that we have during May.
Yeah.
And I had it written down. Maybe I didn't. It was not great, you know?
It wasn't great. So now we go, we play Inter. If we lose to them and we go to, and we play San Jose and lose to them and then play Columbus, that's only 3 points, boys, still for the month of May. So we got to hold our horses, you know. Yes, it's a great win. It was phenomenal. But we got to look at the whole spectrum of everything. So, but yeah, I want to see this consistency. I want to see us winning consistency. I don't want to see us win here, and then I'm not only going to win again in the middle of June or in the late parts of June. So that's my thing. And yes, I'm still poppy out. He can't hear anybody. I think he froze.
All right,
I think he froze.
We lost Swag, so we'll go ahead and wait for him to get back in here, and I'll go from here. So
yeah.
Basically, when it comes to, I'm going to go ahead and remove him from.
Can we just? Can we remove him? Because I mean, he was just like, I'm killing myself.
We're trying to do him a favor there. For the most part, I'm with you. I'm happy to see that there was a change in shape. I'm happy to see that we were able to try something new. But at the same time, did we try something new? Was it out of necessity or because of the fact that Poppy felt that he had to change something? It feels like it was more so probably something that was done out of necessity. And that's, you know, obviously that's worrisome. And one thing that we didn't really touch on from Alex there is that, you know, we also lost Robin Jansen in this game. He went down with an injury and had to be stretchered off. Apparently it looks as though it's not going to be that serious of an injury, and we are expecting him to hopefully be back soon. But when I say be back soon, I don't think that means he's back on Wednesday, you know? But out of this, I think my biggest thing for this is I'm with you in the fact that I am tempering my expectations. You know, it's great to get a win, but I said this on Den After Dark, and I've said this on Twitter. It's perfectly fine to enjoy the moment, but we have been a wildly inconsistent team this year. I'm not going to feel as though the tide has turned until we start to see us string a couple results together. Because Alex Ryder, he's on the Batter and Heron show, which is a Miami podcast. He's with them tonight. So if you know what you want to see the Miami view of it, go check them out. When he was on our Den After Dark show, one of the things that he said is he said he feels like this could be end up being a famous victory. And I said, told him, I said, I need you to pump the brakes on that. It can be a famous victory when we look 3 or 4 games from now and we see where we're at. If we are 3 or 4 games from now and we're not much higher than where we're at right now on the table, it's not a famous victory. You know, it's got, you got to be better than that. You got to string results together. So that's what we mean when we pump the brakes. But realistically, this game was about 3 players for our team, and that is Nico Ladero, Luis Muriel, and Pedro Gallese. Nico Ladero, 3 assists. We had an MLS assist and 2 goals out of Luis Muriel and the PK save out of Pedro Gallese. Those are the players that really kind of need performances to turn how they're feeling around, and all of them got it in the same game. Actually, to this, that talk from MLS.com, all of them got Team of the Week honors. As far as Team of the Week goes, we ended up having Luis Muriel in the starting position on Team of the Week. And we ended up having Nico Ladero and Pedro Gallese on the bench. You know, granted, Pedro still gave up 2 goals, but when you save a PK against a guy that has never missed a PK in his MLS career, he was 22 for 22 going into that second PK of the night. You know, he gets his flowers for that. So I'm with you in taking everything right now with a grain of salt. But I at least think that those 3 performances that we got from those 3 guys was one of the more encouraging things. And also Facundo Torres playing like more of a wingback role, I thought it was interesting. You know, he kind of needs a little bit of a humbling at this point, considering the fact that he started the season so rough and playing more as a fullback, a little bit less attacking. I think that's kind of a way to do that. And realistically, he didn't do a bad job. But at the same time, if you look at the XG, depending on if you want to look at Analysis Evolved, who had the XG at like 5.4, if you want to look at MLS, which had them at like 4.5, and if you want to look at FootMob, that had it at like 4 flat, when you take out those two PKs and Gazdag's miss on the PK rebound, that equates to about 2 XG, no matter which way you cut it. We're still letting up 2 to 3 XG outside of the penalty kicks, no matter what. So we did give them a lot of opportunities. And I know Alex is back in the room now. He said he doesn't give a crap about XGs. But when you're giving up a lot of opportunities, it generates a lot of XG. So that's something that you have to look at. So I'm going to kind of jump into the next topic, and then Alex is going to be back taking over. Is with, you know, this new tactics, this new shape, is this something that, like, we're going to start seeing more often? You know, I think it's something that we could, but at the same time, you look at how much we gave up on defense. We gave up a lot. Are we going to, is that something that's going to be sustainable? Right now, I especially if we're down Robin Jansen, who's going to miss time, and it's going to be Wilder Cartagena, Bracalo, and Schlegel. And then Kyle Smith is your alternate coming off the bench as a center back. I don't know that I'm betting the house on us keeping balls out of the net. So.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, sorry about that. I don't know. My whole computer froze. Can't even unmute myself. How is that? So I was trying to mouth to you guys.
Just don't blame the computer. Just blame Spectrum. It's easier.
Yeah, I agree with that. No, I, but when we were really good last year, it was like we were scoring goals, three, almost like three a game, I think, you know, and that's, in shocking news, you have to score to win, you know. You can't win with no goals. And winning with one goal happens. I would love to see the numbers on that. Just in soccer around the world, how often does a team win with just one goal? You know, you got to score goals to win. I think the team is built to score goals more than they're built to play defense. You know, and right now it kind of calls for us to have to play this formation. So I think we will maintain the formation and see how it's going to go roll out against Miami. But I don't want to change it back. It was miserable to watch. I think this allowed Nico to get in more positions that he's used to being in. It looked like Duncan and Muriel started to actually, you know, gel a little bit together. And Cartagena is just going to get better. If he's playing that middle center back role, you know, the transition from the 5-3-2 to the, you know, to the four in the back as we're attacking or defending, he will get better at that. He's been phenomenal with everything that we've done and put him in. So there was his first match and really just the first goal. So it was the only time that he was a liability with that. You know, a lot of their expected goals came from the penalties that they had, the two penalties that they had. If you take those away, you know, it's 3-1, and the expected goals is for them is probably cut down by, you know, almost two entire goals. So, you know, I don't look at expected goals very much. I think the ref had a big deal to do with the expected goals for this match. You know, and ours were only low because Muriel scored a banger, and that was it. I don't understand how Duncan – this is why I don't like expected goals, because Duncan's expected goals on his goal was like a 0.3 or something like that. And in reality, the dude's putting it in 90% of the time when it's that sort of situation. So, you know, I think it's a very generic stat. And, yeah, we're going to leak goals, but if we could score goals, that's what's going to get you results. Especially – we've known that with this team. We've known that. You got Ojeda. You got Faku, who hopefully can figure it out. You got Angulo, who's an attacker. We play with all these attacking-minded players, you know. All three of our DPs are attackers. So why do we play this poppy ball where you have to defend and you try and win 1-0 every match? It just doesn't make any sense. If we had a DP goalkeeper and a DP center back and a DP defensive mid. Yeah, play 1-0. Play for it all the time. That's fine. But we have three designated players. All of them are attackers. You just spent money on Angulo. You still got Duncan. There's no reason to not play an attacking style of soccer. If we give up two or three goals every game, who cares? As long as we're scoring two or three goals every game. And I'm confident that with the formation that we put on the pitch, that'll come. We had three great goals, and it was the first time we played it. It was the first time we played that with this team. So, you know, it's just going to get better. Just like the defense will get better, I think. It was for the first time out. It was, like JJ said, when you guys went last year and this is the formation that they played in the preseason, you're thinking this is like a totally different style of play. And it's what the roster calls for, in my opinion, especially if we got everybody healthy. I know you're hoping that we keep the tactics, that we change the tactics. You think Oscar Pereja is just staying up at night dreaming about when he can go back to the poppy ball?
Probably. Mike, go ahead first. I saw your hand up. Go ahead.
You're good. One thing I was going to add is just something that I tweeted out after the game, or actually I think I tweeted it out during the game, maybe at halftime. It's amazing that we switched to a two-striker system, and then Luis Muriel, who has thrived his entire career in a two-striker system, is now productive. Like, it's one of those things that I was kind of looking at. He's best as being a second striker, that number two guy in front of a guy who's more of a target man, like Duncan Maguire is. We put Duncan out there and him together, and guess what? Duncan opens up space for him to take that rip from distance. He ends up getting the opportunity to go ahead and make a run in behind like he did on the second goal. It's just one of those things that, you know, talking about the tactic change, the shape change, stuff like that. One of the things that was kind of necessary is if we want to go ahead and get our best players on the field, obviously that includes Muriel and Duncan together. And finding a way to go ahead and change the formation so that way they're both on the field. Who knows? Two striker system where Muriel's at his best, it works. It's crazy. So I'm definitely hopeful that we continue to at least see that, even if we do change some of the other parts around it. But yeah, you just something that you said, Alex, strike me to want to add that in there.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's clear to me. Just like it was clear last year that the double pivot was what we needed to do. That was a change last year. This to me, you know, it seems obvious. You know, you make other teams beat you. You don't let other teams beat you. And yeah, we may leak goals, but you still got to make them score the goals. You still got to make the other team slash you up. You have to do it. And it's the MLS. It's not like you're playing, you know, Barcelona and then Real Madrid and then, you know, all the, you know, or in the Premier League, you know, where you have 6, 8, 10 top teams that can slash you up. There's not that many. Philly is usually a team that should be slashing you up, and they've been off a little bit, just a little bit. And we still got the result. We still scored more goals than they did. At the end of the day, that's what the table is revolved around. It's around who scores more than the other team for each of the 34 matches. So.
And here's something to just kind of add and highlight to that. Like, yes, they've played two more games than us, but at the same time, you know, sometimes it's about outscoring your opponent. Like you said, look at Fort Lauderdale. They're the best team in the league. They've given up the same amount of goals that we have, but they've scored 35. Like, their score, obviously, again, you have to look at the level of who they have playing for them, and it's understandable where those goals are coming from. But at the same time, like, when you're outscoring your opponents 35-20, giving up 20 goals in 12, 13 games ain't no big deal when you can score that much. Like,
exactly.
So sometimes that's the way you got to play.
And that's what I wanted to bring up, actually, because if we go with this tactic, this new tactic, with this 3-5-2 with two strikers, Inter Miami is drooling right now. Because they're going to score a lot of goals, but so are we. And that's the thing. We got more of an offensive minded. Okay. The thing with Oscar and these new tactics and new shapes and everything, the problem is he's too consistent with the same exact thing. Okay. A coach needs to when something's not working, let's change it up. Let's try something new. All right. So instead of always playing the double pivot, the four in the back, you know, people start knowing, why do they have all these videos on your team to know what they're going to be doing? What the plan is? Coaches aren't stupid. Okay. They got assistants that basically, you know, read everything on the video of who's where they're running, what they like to do. But when you play the same exact shape, the same exact game for 9 or 10 straight games, I mean, heck, we talked about it here. I know exactly what they're going to do. They're going to pass it to the left or to the right. Majority of the time, it's to the left. And cross it in. They're going to cross it in. So what a team's going to do? Well, we're going to bunker in, and we're going to beat everybody inside the box because that's all they're going to do is cross it in. And teams start knowing this. Then the next game, the team knows, well, we're going to do the same exact thing, okay? And we just need to pass by Rodrigo or pass by Janssen, get one speedster to pass by these guys, you know? So changing tactics is a great idea. Maybe in this game against, you know, Miami, let's go back to our old, which is more defensive minded, you know, because you got to stop Messi. You got to stop Rojas. You got to stop these guys. If not, they're going to put the 5-0 on us again or 6-0. Okay. And then against San Jose, hey, they're more of a chillax team, a more relaxed. Let's go and put up 4 or 5 against those guys, you know, with the more offensive minded, because they're not as so offensive. The coach has to come in and look at all this stuff. And it just seems like Poppy just goes in and says, hey, we're going to play this. This is all we're going to do. It's just this one. And if he comes back to the old tactics that he was doing, that's more faith that I lose in him. I mean, as a coach, you need to know what you're coming into, college football or professional football. You know, these coaches switch it up. Hey, I'm going into the nickel. No, I'm going to the diamond because this team isn't as good if we play in the diamond, the defense, or I'm going into the nickel, whatever, you know. But when you start playing the same thing, teams are going to figure you out and everything. Did I like the new shape? I loved it. I thought it was more offensive. And what have I said? Mike said it exactly. Play these guys in the position that they're supposed to be playing, and they will produce. I don't need Muriel to play the number 10. I don't need Muriel to play back there, center defensive mid playing. I need him to play what he knows how to do and knows how to play. And look what happened when you put those two guys playing together. Boom. Muriel scores 2 goals. Duncan scores 1. Right there, 3 goals. Bam. And what are we going to do if Duncan leaves? You know, time to think about that too. So, but the new tactics, loved it. We need to switch it up a couple of times. One, it's not that we need to stay with this tactic. We need to know when to play and when not to play with new tactics or new whatever, you know, new shapes and forms.
Yeah, I don't know if I would go back, JJ. I don't think I'd run anything other than, I think what a lot of teams get wrong against Miami is, you know, when they're fully healthy, you're not supposed to beat them. Nobody's supposed to beat them. That's what MLS has set in stone. That's what they've put in place. They don't want them to lose. So I think you have to outscore them. I don't think you drop a team to get to stop them. I think you're failing from the beginning if you do that. If you're saying we want to stop Miami from scoring goals, that's how we're going to win the game. And I think you've lost from the jump. I think the only way you beat Miami is saying we're going to go score 4 goals and we're going to hope they only get 3. And that's how we're going to get 3 points today. And that's it, you know, because their weakest point is by far their defense, like you've highlighted. And you know, I think it's got to be offense on offense match. So we'll talk a little bit more about
that's going to be a 20-20 game on Wednesday.
At least we'll get a point. That's it. You know, it's like, it's for me, that's better than if we go defensive and say, I dare Messi to beat us. Well, he's Lionel Messi. If you're going to dare him to beat you, he's going to kick your butt. He's going to knock you out. He's going to beat you 5-0. if you're going to dare him to beat you. That's just the way it's going to be. So I would rather it say, you know, I dare us to go out and score five goals or four goals and leak whatever we want. You know, if we lose 6-4, whatever. It's a hell of a lot better than losing 5-0. You know, at least you showed improvement. But I think that's the only way to do it with them. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get into the preview. Let's go with first, before we get into that, two things we want to do first: stock up, stock down. Mike, I'm going to shoot to you first for a stock up and a stock down.
I mean, the most obvious stock up realistically should be Luis Muriel. Two goals, one MLS assist. Finally showed up to play. Don't really have much more to say about it aside from the fact that he's, you know, this is what we need. This is the player that we thought we were getting. So I need to see that continue. Stock down. This is going to be kind of a weird one because he didn't even make the bench. That's Mikey Holiday. I'm just kind of a little bit conflicted as to, you know, what happened. If the shape changed, just they decided that's something that he kind of probably can't fit into. He's been on the bench pretty much all season. Maybe there's something else. Maybe he's sick or something and no one said anything. But Mikey Holiday is going to get a stock down. We had Alex Freeman on the bench instead. Alex Freeman, hell of an athlete. I'm excited to see him get first team opportunities. But found that a little bit more surprising that he was on the bench instead of Mikey.
Yeah, I was wondering that too. Especially when we needed defenders. So we lost two fullbacks and we didn't really put we lost two starters and we dumped one off the bench. So that was kind of weird. Yeah. JJ, stock up and stock down?
Stock up. I'm going to give it to kind of two guys. I mean, we've kind of bashed on these two guys, and I'm going to give it to Nico and to Luis Muriel and Nico Ladero. The guy, you know, at his age, we've kind of bashed him as a number 10. Well, we missed Mauricio. We do this, but I mean, in this system that he played on Saturday, it worked out good. I mean, it was phenomenal. And Luis Muriel, you know, go back to what Swag said with that left-footed shot. I mean, how hard that thing went in the upper 90. It's like, holy smokes. What the heck? This guy can do that with the left foot? Not even his shooting foot? Wow. You know, and then my stock down. I'll be honest. I can't think of a stock down. I mean, I feel like everybody, you know, did what they had to do in this game. I mean, Pedro played his butt off, had to save the PK. He did that. When we needed the extra, they needed the extra 30 minutes, 40 minutes, you know, of added time. We held it and our defense held it well. And, you know, I'm proud of the boys. I really am. And like Mike said, you know, Facundo maybe needs to play more of that wing fullback type position, you know, because he was actually getting open a lot and getting those crosses in. So I love that also. So if I have to do anything, to be honest, it would probably be Angulo. I didn't really see that much. I mean, he played, but the crosses and everything, but I'll just give it stock down, probably be Angulo, but that's just because I'm giving it to Angulo.
I mean, you can also go ahead and use him for the fact that he was the one that phantom penalty that at the end.
Yeah, but it's not. I mean, he put his arm. It is what it is. But yeah, I mean, that's not a PK.
I still look that though as I agree it's not a PK, but you gave the ref the opportunity to make.
Oh yeah, and that's what I say. You put your arm right at the shoulder. You're going to give the ref the opportunity to give you the PK, and that's what I said it earlier. It's like, If you know soccer and you've reffed it before, you know right away. When I saw that, I'm like, they're going to give you the PK. Your arm's right at the shoulder. Even though the guy's diving, you gave the opportunity to the ref to do that. And then you go back to VAR. They're not going to see. They're going to see that arm going there. And boom, that's him pushing him down. So that's PK. So there you go.
Yeah, I am going to go. I'm not giving my stock up to Muriel because he did what we paid him to do. Obviously his stock is up. I was going to go Nico and then you took a JJ, but how about actual stock, like tangible stock? going up for Duncan McGuire. We lost out on the transfer for him, and we were like, man, you know, they were like, it was like $6-7 million. We're like, man, may not get that for him in the summer. Like, if he has any sort of regression at all, might be more towards that $2-4 million range. And now we're talking about, he might be worth more than that now, more than the $6-7 million. I remember saying on one of the preseason pods, what if he has 8 or 10 goals by the summer break? And everybody was like, what if he has 8? There's no way. And he's basically on pace for that. I mean, maybe 7 or 8 is what he's on pace for, but he's two goal game away from being smack on pace for having that. And you know, the guy is making us money, making him money. And I love to see it. So Duncan McGuire is a phenomenal player. He's the best striker that in my opinion we've ever had, as far as putting the ball in the back of the net. He may not be the most athletic, but when it comes to actually putting the ball into the net and being in the spot where you need to be, I mean Daryl Dico is great, Kyle Aaron was phenomenal, but I cannot think anybody is better than Duncan McGuire is right now. So I'm so happy to see him bringing up his stock and doing what he does best, and that's score goals. And I'm glad to see him put a giant middle finger up to all the pundits out there who said he's going to have a big regression this year, because his expected goals, once again, was only 5.5 last year, and he put 13 in. And just more proof of why take those with a grain of salt. So I give that to him. My stock down is going to go to Cesar. He did great at the end, but you know, we saw a lot more of him last year, and just cause I have to pick somebody, I'll pick him. But we did see a lot more of him, you know, being more efficient last year. I don't know if he's still nagging on that ankle injury that he had or whatever it was, knee or ankle, but I'm hoping to see him get back to that form that he was in last year, not only on, you know, when it comes to the form, but also getting in people's heads. I want to see him be him, you know. It feels like he hasn't been him, like he was last year. So I want to see him start to be the true Cesar that we got to know. And I think it's coming. So, all right. What's next, Mike? What's up next? Duncan McGuire stuff, right? We're just talking about him. Duncan McGuire, the new rumor is old Blackburn is coming to scout him. They're looking to buy him again. They're going to try for round 3 in the summer, because they blew it twice in the winter period. But we also heard a little snippet and saw in the article today that they have talked about extending him. So we're actually looking at maybe getting an extension for Duncan McGuire, and the sides are open. They're both open to talking. Duncan McGuire's side had cut it out completely. They were not open to any sort of talks after, I guess, we may have insulted them with an offer, but now apparently we're talking about giving them a hefty raise. And giving him what is honestly deserved. If I'm him, I don't even entertain Blackburn. They suck. I mean, what's the thrill of going to Blackburn? There is no thrill to me. I've never been a big fan of dumping MLS, where the reigning Ballon d'Or player plays for your rival team, and going to a place like the bottom of the table in the English championship. Honestly, it confuses me when I hear people even defend it. I don't get it. I'm not a fan of the league. I watched a lot of it with DK, and it's, you know, not very impressive to me whatsoever. I understand that they have money to spend, but that doesn't always mean that they're doing it wisely over there. So I don't. Not only where they're at on the table, but because they've screwed him over twice, they forgot to file paperwork. I don't even know why you would want to go to a team like that. It's like somebody giving you a job offer and saying, you know, we're going to give you, I know you make 30 grand right now. We're going to pay you 180 grand. And we want you to start next week. And then when you're going into to work to start, they go, you know, we actually forgot to do all your paperwork, and our hiring period just ended. So I guess you got to go back to your 30 grand a year job. I would say screw that place forever. That's just me. your thoughts. You mentioned, what are we going to do without Duncan? You think there's any chance that we can keep him?
So, Blackburn. Championship. Just like the Thunder right now, thundering here in my house. They're not very happy. We need to sign this guy. Unless Blackburn decides to give us 15, 20 mil for him, which I doubt they're going to do that. They'll probably try to give us 3 or 2. And Blackburn, really? Championship? This guy can go anywhere and play in a first division team. It doesn't even have to be a top tier team. And what I mean by that, he can go probably to the lower division of the EPL, lower division teams of like where Benji played, unfortunately, like in Arouca in Portugal, playing against top dogs like Benfica, Porto, Sporting, and playing in that atmosphere, in that Liga Europa atmosphere, Champions League still. You know, he could go to Spain and play for, you know, maybe like a Girona that all of a sudden is in second or third place this year that's going to the Champions League that 2 years ago that were basically almost relegated. So, I mean, it's not just the championship. There's other teams out there in France, in Holland, in Germany, you know, that could probably afford him, you know, and get him. And who knows if they're out there. I don't know why Blackburn is so much onto this guy. They screwed him twice already. All right. Third time, I think this is honestly just talk from the agent and for us to get more money on the table. And that's why the contract has opened up again. Because if Blackburn want, I just don't know why Blackburn wants him so bad. You know, do they know something that we don't know, that he'll go to Blackburn and then after a year, he's going to get sold for 40, 50 million to another EPL team. And Blackburn's going to make this money. I just don't understand why this team that's at the bottom of the championship wants this guy so bad. And I don't hear anybody else. I don't hear any other team in EPL. And I know there's better teams in the French league, in the Italian league, in the Dutch league, the Portuguese, the Spanish, that could use this Duncan Maguire guy. So I just don't know why Blackburn wants him. I rather just sign him to a contract. He's playing phenomenal. He'll be the star for us. You know, goes to the U.S. men's national team. Where does he play? He plays for Orlando City, you know. And remember, the grass is not always greener on the other side. As Chris Mueller, unfortunately, as DK, he went to the championship too. Unfortunately, he got hurt. But it's not always greener on the other side.
I mean, yeah, I'll play devil's advocate.
Grass over there, I don't think.
I'll play a devil's advocate to you a little bit on that. I mean, all these teams, Blackburn wants him so bad because they think that he's going to make them a better team. I think that's why they
that's
want him.
That's not hard to do.
Yeah.
My goodness gracious.
Well, I mean, heck, I think you could put me, you, and Alex on the team. We'll probably make it better for Blackburn. But I mean, but in a serious note, why isn't it more teams wanting, you know, Duncan? Duncan's great. Why does Blackburn want him so bad? Why?
I mean, to be fair, just to the situation, there was like 4 teams that were interested in him by the time that everything went through. Because if I remember correctly, it ended up coming down to at the end, Blackburn and Sheffield Wednesday, also towards the bottom of the championship. But then when the deal fell through, 2 other teams in the championship contacted us to see if there was a way that they could get in. And I believe that was Ipswich, who is getting promoted, and Plymouth Argyle, who's still going to be in the championship. But, you know, it's there was other teams that did reach out to try and get interested. So I don't think it's really necessarily just them. Obviously, they're still hyper-fixated on it because of the fact that they screwed this kid over. They want to try and do right by him. He was there. He was there. He signed the paperwork. He took pictures with the jerseys. He signed autographs for fans in the hotel. Like, and then he had that taken away because of the fact that someone clicked save instead of clicking submit, you know? But I mean, if I'm Duncan, why would I want to go back there now? You know, That's how I look at it. That team screwed my dream up. Why the hell would I want to go back and play for them? So, I mean, I'm surprised if we're going to entertain an offer, but clearly I think whether it's just, you know, smoke or not, The Athletic reported that we're back. We have a new offer on the table for him that is much improved from what we offered him during the offseason before the transfer speculation started. And if we have a much better offer for him, I'm all on board with bringing him back. Try and make that work. Try and get that done, you know? It's just, you know, playing devil's advocate on it a little bit, but I'm realistically keep him here. Keep him here. Make him the face of the franchise. If you want to go ahead and put in some kind of crazy release clause, but if not, pay him the money that he deserves. Keep him here. Make him the marketing cog of the franchise the way that when, you know, FC Dallas gave Jesus Ferreira a DP deal, similar to that, got him to stay here long term. You know, give him his money. Give him his flowers. He's earned it. You know, so hopefully that leads to something. But if not, I'm sure other teams will probably come calling too. So,
the thing about giving him a raise too, it's not like that automatically says you can't sell him. Oh, you gave him a raise, now you can't sell him. You know, you can sell him still. And on the Blackburn thing, you know, I just got to say this. A man once said, not a wise man, but a man once said, you know, there's an old saying in Tennessee, but, you know, fool me once, shame on you. And fool me. You can't get fooled again. All right. You can't get fooled again. So don't get fooled again, Duncan. Please don't get fooled again. Because if you get fooled a third time by Blackburn, just shake my head.
And the other thing is, you know, you got to look at the U.S. national team. Are you going to get called up if you're playing for Blackburn? I think you have a better chance getting called up if you're playing for Orlando City in the MLS, which is a top tier, you know, league. The championship, I doubt you'd be called up. They're going to look at you and be like, oh, no, we're going to go get somebody else that's, you know, playing in more of a top tier league than getting Blackburn. That's just me. And a team that might not even be in the championship might even go down into what do they call the
League One,
you know, that's like the third division. That's basically like playing USL, you know, going down to the USL. It's just because it's England. And that's the thing I think here.
And I don't think that necessarily going to the championship is going to ruin his chances of being in the national team, just because I look at guys like Haji Wright. Haji Wright's had a great year with Coventry. He was in the national team, scored in the World Cup, like still in the championship. Everyone that follows the U.S. men's national team still loves Josh Sargent, and he's still in the championship. So I don't think championship is going to keep him out of the men's national team if he's scoring goals. But at the same time, he's not in the senior men's national team picture yet. Anyways, he's still expected to be at the Olympics, which is technically still a youth tournament. So he still has a little bit more to do, it looks like, to kind of excel into being at that top, towards the top of the U.S. men's national team striker pool, whether it's here, whether it's elsewhere. So,
yeah, I mean, it's deep. The striker position is deep for sure. Very much with the U.S. men's national team. So, all right. We're almost at an hour. Let's get to our predictions done. The much anticipated match against Inter Fort Lauderdale, Pompano Beach, and Messi and Co. and all his friends coming in to our stadium this weekend or this week. It's a midweek match on Wednesday, so tomorrow. By the time you guys are hearing this, 7:30. Big match, obviously a derby, a rivalry match, and means a little bit more considering the last time we played them, we got absolutely embarrassed out of the stadium, 5-0 loss. So it's a big match. You know, there's no sugarcoating it. We got a great result. After the match on Sunday morning, the first thing I thought about is we need to build on this. And that doesn't necessarily mean you got to win, but you got to build on it. You got to build on this result. Last time we got a great result on the road, we didn't build on it, and we were back in you know, the where are we stage just a few games later. So we got to build on this match. I would love to see a win. It is not going to be easy. My stance is already clear. Go score goals. Outscore Messi. Do not try and not have Messi not score. You know, Suarez, if Suarez and Messi play, they're going to put the ball in the net at least two or three times. So you got to score at least two or three goals to hope for a result. And I think the most recent tactics change is going to be conducive to that. So I'll start off. And with all that being said, I think we lose. I think we lose, but not embarrassingly. I think it'll be 3-2, maybe even 4-3. I think it's going to be a step forward. This is arguably the best attacking, well, not arguably, it is the best attacking front in the history of MLS, and they are rolling right now. So a one-goal loss wouldn't be horrible. I would love to get a draw. I would love to get a win. I think if we get a win, season is immediately back on the tracks. We are off of the derailment, and we will be moving forward between that and the San Jose match, which is going to be a dub because we play on the road. We didn't talk about previewing that, but on the road against one of the worst teams, dub San Jose. So 4-3 loss to Inter Miami is what I'm going to go with. JJ, what's your prediction?
My prediction. All right. So I get a lot of slack, you know, on Twitter that I'm not a real Orlando fan, you know, because I see the thing the correct way. I don't know why people say I'm not a fan, because I talk Poppy out. I talk, you know, listen, bottom line is this. If Messi does not play on Wednesday, which is there's a chance that he might not, they might rest him because, you know, three games in a week is too much for him. And then he doesn't like, you know, being subbed out for 2 minutes because he faked an injury and everything. All right. But 3-1, Orlando wins. I don't think Messi's going to play. I don't think Busquets will play. I think Suarez and Alba will play with Rojas. Those three will play. But no Busquets, no Messi. I don't think Messi will travel to the game. And he'll be down in Fort Lauderdale drinking his Michelob Ultra and down by the beach and everything, and playing at the Hard Rock.
Miller Lite. Miller Lite.
It was a Miller Lite. My bad. Miller Lite.
No, Michelob Ultra is a commercial.
It is Ultra. That's what I thought. Yeah. And then hanging out at the Hard Rock Hotel, eating with the some fans or whatever, you know, down at the down the street from Interco or Inter Stadium or whatever. Not Interco. Oops. Yeah. So, but if Messi and no Busquets, we win 3-1. I'm going with an Orlando win. I think we'll start heading on the right track, and I think this is far fetched, but I think if we beat San Jose also, then on Saturday in California, I mean, three straight wins, I think then we could start thinking, saying, okay. Now, if we go to back to losing, then everything just hits the fan again.
Mike?
Now, for me, I love the optimism from JJ. I will say I think Jordi Alba is actually still out injured, so I don't think he's going to play. Just because I was looking at that before we recorded. My thought process is a little bit more in the line with Alex's, in the fact that I think we're, you know, if we can get a draw out of this, I will be very content. And because of that, I'm going to go ahead and we're playing a more attacking style. They're the most attacking team in the league. So I'm going to predict the funniest possible result, which is a 0-0 tie. No goals at all. I think would be hilarious.
Listen, you guys are not fans of Orlando City. One says a tie and another one says a loss. You are not fans of Orlando City.
Here's the thing, is you will never get me to predict a loss against Fort Lauderdale. I will never do that. But I don't think that I could in good conscience still predict a win at this point. I need to see more before I feel like we can beat them. Or I need to know that Messi's not going to be there, which I don't think we know that yet.
Let me go back to my Messi thing. If Messi's there, then we'll lose 5-1.
Fake fan.
yeah, you know.
I agree. I mean, I hate to predict a loss against Inter Miami. I don't like to do it, but
I know you do.
I respect Messi. I think he's the best player in the history of the game. I have watched him for the longest time. I know JJ's even more triggered, but you know, I and Suarez has been just absolutely wreaking havoc. So with our defensive line, the back line, it's just tough. It's hard to imagine. If we go out and get a dub, I don't even think we got to wait to San Jose. I think we're back on it. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. But San Jose away, I already told you we're going to win. It's going to be 2-0, maybe 3-2 again. We're gonna start scoring goals here. I think if we do this attacking minded thing. And San Jose don't have many people that can beat us. So, what you got, Mike, for San Jose?
So I don't want to go ahead and like poo poo on your parade there or anything, but San Jose's kind of turned it around lately. They beat LAFC. They just beat Colorado, who's a lot more improved this year and is climbing up the table. They're scoring goals. So playing them on a long road trip isn't going to be an easy thing. I'm still hoping for a win, and I'd like to see us score some goals. So I'm going to go ahead and go with a 2-1 victory away to San Jose. But I just, you know, I'm tempering expectations. They've been looking okay. They've been looking aight.
Yeah, but we're the best team on the road.
That's right. The masculine urge to say we're back seconds after saying it's over. So,
yeah, I mean, that's what sports is all about. You know what I'm saying?
We're back, baby. We're back.
1-1 tie in San Jose.
I'm a Florida State fan, so that's been me for the last 20 years, except for 1 year.
Are you excited for EA college football?
Oh, can't you have wait. No idea. You have no idea. I'll take anybody in that game. I'll put 50 bucks on it.
Swear to God, if they put an ultimate team in that, I am not buying it. I'm going to be so.
You know, there's going to be an ultimate team.
Oh, there's going to be an ultimate.
It's so dumb. Yeah. It's so dumb for a college game. Anyways, that's off topic. My bad.
All right. Shout outs. JJ, you got one? Who's got one? Who wants to go first? Speak it up.
I'll go first. Shout out to the. We don't talk about them a lot. Shout out to the Pride, still undefeated, doing a great job. Just beat Bay City, Bay Area, whatever the team's called. I don't even know what it's called. Bay something, Bayfront. I don't know. But congratulations, you guys packed again the lower bowl. Intercoast Stadium with only 4,000 again people. I think
7,000 they had.
Oh, okay. They had 3,000 more than what I expected. Okay. So good job, Banda. You're kicking butt. Continue doing. I heard she had a knock, I think, or something. I don't know. I just heard from, I was going on Twitter through the game. Another podcast was, you know, giving all the information of what was going on at the Orlando Pride game. So I was reading that from the other podcast instead of, because they started saying that, you know, there was a foul in the box, which wasn't, you know, from the Orlando City game. It was, I think, a handball that was a PK, and they called it a foul. I'm like, okay. I mean, it is technically a foul, but they must have been watching the Pride game because they're giving play-by-plays of the Pride game. All right, but shout out to the Pride.
Mike, you're up, bud.
Oh, boy. I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to go ahead and give a shout out to Hourglass Bruin. Excited for the event upcoming. I'm gonna need to drink now, because I was talking about how the fact that my Rangers could close the series up their own up 1-0, and then they gave up 4 goals in the third period and lost the game. So I need a beer right now, which is really convenient considering I'm taking a little bit of time being sober. So
I don't really have a shout out. I had one, and then we go for an hour and 9 minutes, and then I lose my. I need to like write them down. But
we at least started early today, so there's that.
Hey, shout out for us. We won a game, and we made Den After Dark after an hour, and we made our podcast over an hour. So two things for a win. We usually we get said that we We only speak 30 minutes after a win and an hour after we.
JJ.
So, sorry. I'm just saying, you know, I'm just going by what people say.
All right. Shout out to JJ for being a menace tonight.
Menace to society. Stirring the pot.
Stirring the pot there a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. JJ for giving me secondhand embarrassment right now for
it couldn't be worse than your free shot. That looked like you were choking yourself.
Making me blush, brother. All right. No, that's gonna be my shout out. I don't have a shout out. I'm still too happy about the win. So shout out to 15 minutes of stoppage time, because that was just absolutely just ridiculous. Yeah, it ended up being like 19 minutes of stoppage time. My wife and my mother-in-law were here, and they came out and they look up and they go, 15 minutes. They both said that, both at that like two minutes apart. Said they both said the same thing. They said I never seen it that long. I don't know if it ever has been that long. Oh God! All right, we're getting too off of it here. All right. Well, as always, thank everybody for listening. Please show up to the watch party. Come out and enjoy the beer. Come out and enjoy the giveaways. Come out and enjoy some good company. And we'll root on another Orlando City Road Dub on June 1st. At New York Red Bull. So come out and take in for the festivities. Let us know if you're going to come, and we'll be excited to see you. You guys got anything else to add besides smiles and shade?
And come and see us June 1st. I'll be there. Mike will be there. Swag will be there. We'll all be there. We got plenty of gifts to be given out. Come and see us. And then I think Mike's working on trying to get the dunk tank for me so people can just dunk me in the water and drown me.
No promises. But I don't have connections for that.
Beat a mole. It's beat adjacent.
All right. As always, it's always Vamos Orlando. We hope to get a result. We'll talk to you guys recapping the next two matches next week. And of course, we'll see you on the Den After Dark after both these matches. Come and join us on that as well. And we will see y'all soon. Vamos Orlando.
Vamos.
Vamos.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Don't forget to follow us at Orlando Lions Den on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next week in the Den.